Hello, and welcome to the Bookshelf Conversation, the podcast segment of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf, your source for news, reviews, previews, and interviews with authors, artists, musicians, filmmakers, anyone who has anything to do with baseball and pop culture, because that's our slogan. If it fits on a bookshelf, it fits here. Hello again, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast portion of Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf. We last spoke with Eric Sherman following the publication of his book, Kings of Queens, Life Beyond Baseball with the 86 Mets. Well, now he takes us back even further, all the way back to 1969, with his new book written with Art Chomsky, After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets. It was a pleasure talking with Eric, catching up on his unique participation in this book. Art Chomsky previously wrote about the 69 Mets, as well as the Jets and Knicks, who also won championships in that, if not in the calendar year, in the same general season. So here is our conversation with Eric Sherman. Eric Sherman, welcome back to the Baseball Bookshelf.
Well, great to be back. Thank you, Ron.
So this year, we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the Miracle Mets Championship of 1969, and Art Chomsky has written one memoir. I know Ron Sabota has written one, and I imagine there might be a couple more coming down the pike. But tell me how you got involved in this project. The book is called After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets. So how did you come to be involved in this?
Well, I had always wanted to write a book on the 69 Mets. I had written three previous books that were Mets-related, autobiography that I co-wrote for Mookie Wilson, the same with Davey Johnson, and then Kings of Queens, Life Beyond Baseball at the 86 Mets. So it seemed natural to me to be a part of the 69 Mets project, especially with the 50th anniversary coming up this year. Art Chomsky, who played outfield for that team, had an identical idea. You know, he also wanted to do a book on the 69 Mets to coincide with the 50th anniversary. And we both have the same agent. And so our agent put us together. And, you know, to be honest, we were looking for an angle that would make a 69 Mets book different from, like, the other 40 or 45 that had been written over the last 45-plus years. And so we just started talking over lunch, and Art had said, if we interview Tom Seaver, we're going to go, you know, we're going to have to go out and see him because he's had a Lyme disease for over 20 years, and talking for any length of time over the phone, you know, could be difficult for him. And I thought, well, I have a better idea. What if we go out and see him and we bring some of his best friends from the 69 team and really bring the 50th reunion to him? Because, you know, we both knew that he wouldn't be able to travel back to New York. So that's really the angle of the book. It's camaraderie. It's about teammates and the love that they have each other. And it's also about aging.
Now, that's one of the things I noticed, having read the book about the 86 Mets and how that was sort of bittersweet because all of those guys were getting on in years, so to speak. These guys are even older than that. And if you're a fan of the team at the time, as I was an adolescent at the time, that puts us just a little bit behind them. And yes, you talk about aging. The teammates who joined Chomsky on this trip were Jerry Kuzma and Ron Sabota and Buddy Harrelson, who I was dismayed to learn from your book that he's suffering symptoms of dementia.
He is. So Buddy traveled out to the Napa Valley with Art and I. We all flew out of New York. Sabota met us at San Francisco Airport. flying up from New Orleans, and Jerry Kuzman from Minneapolis. And at that time, Buddy was in the very beginning stages of Alzheimer's. Now, I've seen Buddy recently, and, you know, this is about 2 years now after our trip, and it's progressed. I mean, it's when we were out there with Buddy, he was a little slow with his speaking, but he got along okay. And his memory is still very, very sharp with all things regarding the 69 Mets. The same with Tom Seaver. You know, the effects of Lyme disease, if undetected, some of the symptoms are loss of more or less short-term memory, not long-term memory. So Tom, talking about the past, was sharp as a tack. But it was the, you know, the stuff that happened 3 hours before, you know, that's what he was having some issues with.
And I also got a kick out of the way you described the relationship between Jerry Kuzman and Ron Swoboda. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, yeah, so when Art and I were trying to decide, you know, which players to invite along with us, he thought, well, obviously, you know, like Buddy was easy. He was best friends with Tom all those years. They roomed together on the road for eight years, both from California. So he was an easy one, as, you know, assuming that he could make the trip in his condition. Now, Kuzman obviously wasn't even the number two pitcher on the team. He was like 1B, whereas Tom was 1A. Kuzman, as you know, Ron was a phenomenal big game pitcher. And then Swoboda saved the game, the game that Seaver pitched in game four. And their friendship has really come around over the years. They're two very, very different people. Well, anyway, two people that are very, very different politically are Swoboda and Kuzman. Kuzman is, you know, a real conservative, to a fault, and Swoboda is kind of labeled as the 69 Mets flower child. He's liberal. So Art thought it would be an interesting additional dynamic to have those two on the trip. So, you know, when we're stuck in traffic and there's banter going back and forth, those two could share their views. But for as diametrically opposed politically as those two are, they really love each other. And so that was kind of a heartwarming part of the story.
So you say this trip was taken 2 years ago. So tell me about the process. I'm wondering the chicken and egg type thing. Now, Art wrote a lot about the actual team that year. That's pretty much the bulk of the book is reminiscing about the actual 69 season. Was that done before or after the trip?
Well, so it's really two books in one. The spine of the book, the first chapter and the last two chapters, are both, they're the organizing of the trip, which was a chapter all of its own. It's a miracle that we were able to put this all together. And then the journey itself.
Excuse me, as you say, you were very lucky to find Seaver on a good day, as you put it.
Well, we were. Now, the middle part of the book, that's a look back at 69, and what we did, thanks to Art keeping in touch with every single member of that team, plus, and, you know, people that weren't on the team but were kind of a part of it, like Whitey Herzog, who was the farm director, Mrs. Hodges, Gil's widow, the groundskeepers. So he's kept in touch with all these people. So we gain new perspective of that 69 season in the middle chapters. We didn't know for sure if we would be able to see Tom right up until the morning of. Nancy Seaver, his wife, was very upfront about it. You know, Tom has good days and bad days. And we could all get out there like we did And she could turn around and say that morning, Tom's not having a good day, you know, and maybe you could see him for a few minutes or not at all. And so we took that risk, and everything worked out beautifully.
It did, because had it not, this would have probably been quite a different book.
It would have been a very different book, yeah. You know, I think it would have been similar in many respects, but it would have had a somber overtone as opposed to one that was pretty joyous. You know, I mean, we had a nearly three-hour tour of Tom's vineyard. You know, we were up at his house that overlooks the vineyard. Then we had lunch afterwards. And so it was a really terrific day. And if we hadn't been able to see Tom, you know, obviously that would have been, it would have been very somber, for sure. Yeah,
one of the things that immediately, as I'm reading this book, brought to mind was David Halberstam's book, The Teammates.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a book that I've read. And, you know, it was near the end of Ted Williams' life that some of his teammates got together, and they made the trip down to Florida to see Ted Williams for the last time. And, you know, that's not the case with Tom. Tom is still with us, and in fact, physically, he's in terrific shape. It's just the symptoms from his Lyme disease and now dementia, which has really eliminated any traveling that he could do. And I'll just say that when everyone was saying goodbye after lunch that day, it was the longest goodbye. I mean, we were in the parking lot of the place where we had lunch for nearly an hour. Everyone there kind of knew this would be the last time they would all get together. It was the longest of goodbyes. No one wanted to leave.
Very sad, very sad. How many of the 69 Mets have passed, do you know offhand? I know Agee and Clendenin have passed, for Sella.
And Todd McGraw.
And
Kuntz. And, yeah, so including coaches, 10 have passed. Mm-hmm. So I believe there are still 18 or 19, either 18 or 19 are still with us today.
And do you know, of course, the Mets are planning a celebration. Do you know when that's going to be taking place?
Yeah, the last weekend of June. Mm-hmm. I think it's the 28th, 29th, and 30th. So, yeah, the Mets are, it's a weekend-long celebration. And, in fact, on that Sunday evening, Art and I will be signing copies of our book in the Jackie Robinson Rotunda. So if fans want to purchase a book at Citi Field, we'll sign it for them.
Now, talk about the process of actually working with someone like Art. Your 86 book, excuse me, was different in that you were the impetus. You went around interviewing all the various players. But you're working with Art, so I'm guessing he's calling the shots in one way, but... And he is the author of another book, which is kind of, it's similar. It's about the year when the Mets, Jets, and Knicks all won the championship. Was the 69 and 70 year. What was it like working with him?
Oh, it was a pleasure, every minute. And I say that without any exaggeration. You know, he's obviously an iconic 69 Met, you know, every day of his life, somebody recognizes him and brings up 69. And more of a gentleman you'll never meet. I mean, anything that I needed, you know, to help write this book, he provided. He's extremely well connected within not just the Mets organization, but with those 69 Mets. It was an honor to work with him, and you know, much in the same way it was working with Mookie Wilson on his book and Davey Johnson on his, and you know, he's extremely knowledgeable. You know, he's 77 now, and I mean, he is really sharp. I mean, he's like a much younger man in every respect.
When you work with him, does he write? Do the two of you chat face to face? Does he talk into a tape recorder and then you type out the transcript? How does that work?
Well, it's like with the other books that I've collaborated with, with others. It always works the same way. So what I do my own research. I come up with the questions. So in this case, aside from all the 69 Mets, I interviewed Art, depending on the subject matter. And he answers the questions, and then I write the book as if I'm him.
Mm-hmm.
And then once we complete a chapter, he reads it, and he gives me his feedback, and, we usually change a few things. But the end result is it comes out sounding exactly like Art. So I do all the transcribing and everything like that.
So the research part, we all know athletes have phenomenal memories when it comes to their exploits on the field and things like that. So you did the game reporting research, so to speak?
Yeah, I mean, and not just the games, but what was going on around the game. Like the middle section of the book, it's not so much game recaps as what was going on during certain big series or big events. 1969, a lot was going on in the country. You had the lunar landing, you had Woodstock, you had Vietnam, you had race riots. So all this was happening around this miracle that was occurring in Flushing, Queens. And so that really comes into the book a great deal. Some of the best interviews that we had were with Ed Charles, who passed away shortly after we met with him, Ron Swoboda, and so many others. They had so much to say about these social issues that were going on, not just in New York but around the country at that time. So the book definitely transcends the 69 Mets and certainly baseball.
I certainly found that interesting because at the time, of course, I was a kid, but players were not as outspoken politically and socially as they are today. So it was refreshing to see what they thought at the time that was going on. Seaver, of course, was very vocal about his feelings about the Vietnam War. But he was the star of the team, so I guess he was the bigger quote. I don't remember. My memory it may be faulty about others being as verbose about it.
No, and at the time, they didn't really discuss politics. So I asked Swoboda, I saw him a couple weeks ago, and we were talking about Kuzmin and his conservative leanings. And I asked Rocky, I said, did you know, that Kuz was so conservative? And Swoboda told me, we never talked about politics in those days. I think society's changed. Like, people didn't talk about politics and religion back then. And now, with social media and the 24/7 cable news networks, it's just out there more, I think. I think it's true with everybody, not just ball players.
What was it like for you? Again, you were just a toddler when the Mets won that year. What was it like for you hanging out with these guys?
Oh, it was incredible. I was 3 years old in 69, so I don't remember that. But I do remember 73. The first game I ever went to, 4th of July, 1972, Tom Seaver just missed pitching a no-hitter. He pitched a one-hitter. I grew up watching Seaver and Kuzmin and Harrelson and Swoboda and those guys. So to be, to rent a big van at San Francisco Airport and to have Kuzmin riding shotgun and have Harrelson, Svoboda, and Jamsky in the back, and we're on our way to the Napa Valley to see Tom Seaver. I mean, there is something surreal about that, even for someone like myself that's written, you know, this is my sixth book, and I've interviewed hundreds of baseball players over the years. I mean, this was extraordinary. But I had a very well mapped out job to do that mm-hmm. weekend mm-hmm. as the chronicler of what was going on. And so I wasn't nervous or anything like that or anxious, but I was very, very much aware of the magnitude of what was going on.
And the others were all aware of what you were doing, and they were all fine with that.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, they all knew why I was there, and it's funny, you know, a couple of times we were out on the vineyard, and, you know, they're sharing some clubhouse humor, and, I mean, it was like no time had passed at all with these guys. And a couple of times Seaver turned to me and he said, "Hey, Eric, that doesn't go in the book." You know, that story doesn't go in the book. So, you know, and it was funny because they were all so natural, but Seaver knew, you know, why I was there. And so, yeah, he turned to me a couple of times and just wanted to make sure that certain stories didn't go in the book. And I said, "Of course." And Kuzmin said to me, "Hey, you know, there are going to be children reading this book. You know, look the other way on some of my language." So they were very much aware.
The book is After the Miracle, The Lasting Brotherhood of the 69 Mets, and we've been talking with Eric Sherman, who helped Art Chansky bring this book to press. Eric, thank you very much for talking with us today.
My pleasure, Ron, anytime.
And that was our conversation with Eric Sherman. At some point in the near future, I hope to have Art Chansky for his take on what it was like to work on this book. Of course, for Art, it was much more personal, having played with these Mets, and in a sense, the underlying reason that this book was written. Speaking of which, I realized when I was looking for my copy of this for this broadcast, podcast, whatever, it shares a name with a book written by Maury Allen in 1989. That one was called After the Miracle, The Amazing Mets 20 Years Later. So we have 20 years later and 50 years later, and Maury was always a favorite of mine. Well, that wraps up another bookshelf conversation. Remember to visit Ron Kaplan's Baseball Bookshelf for the latest reviews, previews, and interviews on our favorite game. If you have any questions or comments or concerns, please feel free to drop me a line at ronkaplansbaseballbookshelf@gmail.com. Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later.
So grand, he'd have said, "Boys, I'm glad I discovered this land. Gee, it's a